Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.
These days, it is hard to escape the impact of the coronavirus. No one is immune to the physical, the psychological, emotional, social, and economic effects of this pandemic. But is it all bad? In this week's episode of By Your Life, we explore other possibilities. Welcome to the 103rd episode of By Your Life. I'm Lisa Hudiman, and I know you have 100 different things you could be doing right now, so I thank you for choosing By Your Life. My goal is to inspire, empower, support, challenge, and encourage you to connect Sunday with Monday through Friday in a secular business world. It's my desire to help you live our Catholic faith in the marketplace. I hope to offer you practical ways to go forth and glorify the Lord by your life. In this edition, we'll reflect on the readings for the third Sunday of Lent. I wanted to make this episode of By Your Life a coronavirus-free zone, but over the course of the past week, it has taken on an entirely new life. No one is immune to the physical, the psychological, emotional, social, and economic effects of this pandemic. As more testing is done, more cases are found. I'm already wondering when this will be over. I feel like the Israelites who've been wandering in the desert. Is the Lord in our midst or not? I've had enough already. It's like the sex abuse scandals that have filled the news. I've had enough of that too. But in a way, just like the coronavirus, it is good that we're constantly hearing about it so people will take action to stop it. Most recently, I heard about the case of sexual abuse that involves Jean Vanier, the Catholic philosopher and theologian, and founder of L'Arche, an international federation of communities where persons with and without intellectual disabilities live together in a model of Christian community. I had heard of Jean Vanier only because I've been recently consuming Henri Nouwen's books, one after another. Henri Nouwen, if you haven't heard of him, was a Catholic priest, professor, writer, and theologian who left his academic career and went to live and work at the L'Arche Daybreak community in Ontario. Among others, Nouwen was heavily influenced by Jean Vanier, and I've recently been influenced by Nouwen, so I was especially saddened to hear about the credible and consistent testimonies from six women whom Jean Vanier sexually and emotionally abused. This was a man who was esteemed as a Mother Teresa-like figure by many around the world, so I'm not alone in feeling sickened and saddened by these revelations. On the Word on Fire show, Bishop Barron talked about the Jean Vanier scandal and more generally the issue of when church leaders fail. How do we make sense of the positive fruit and all the good works that came out of this man and others who are later revealed to have been deeply dysfunctional, sociopathic, and perhaps narcissistic, if not criminal. Bishop Barron's thoughts on the subject were really helpful to me in trying to process this. He said that Jean Vanier was in some ways a very good man, and he did bear good fruit in many ways. But at the same time, he fell from a graced relationship with God. Both are true. Saying this neither exculpates him, nor does it say that he was nothing but depraved. He was, at the same time, a good man who suffered from the effects of sin. This was true of Jean Vanier, and it is true of us. So what does this have to do with our scripture readings from this week? In our gospel, Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at the well. Simply by the fact that she was a Samaritan, she would have been regarded by Jews as ritually impure, and therefore, as a Jew, Jesus would have been forbidden from drinking from any vessel that she handled. In addition to this general Samaritan exclusion, Jesus also knew that she was an adulteress who had five husbands, and the one she had now was not her husband. According to the law and custom of the time, Jesus would have been right to avoid her altogether. He could have judged her a sinner and dismissed her, but he didn't. Instead, he engaged her in conversation, and he offered her salvation. I've been thinking about this a lot this week. I've been reflecting on how my tendency is to put people into categories: good, bad, smart, stupid, useful, useless, saint, sinner. Just last weekend, I was at a podcaster's conference, and I found myself doing this all the time. One of the speakers was a self-proclaimed psychic, and I immediately thought, she can't possibly have anything to say that would be of value to me. Because I don't believe in psychics, and I consider engaging with someone in her line of work to be a violation of the First Commandment, I assumed that this woman couldn't possibly have anything to say that I needed to hear. I had put her in a good-bad category, and I was ready to move on to another session. And then, because I had been thinking about our capacity to be both sinner and potential saint, I caught myself. Even though it's wrong to consult a psychic to discover the future, it's okay to get advice about podcasting. In the end, I'm glad I didn't write her off. She shared one of the best tips of the entire weekend that has the potential to pay for more than the cost of the conference. If you're honest, you will admit that, like me, you do this too, all the time. We quickly judge people and try to fit them into a category so that we can deal with them efficiently. But people are more complicated than that. We also do this with ideas and events. At least I know that I do. I'll quickly decide if it's good or bad. Most ideas and events are more complicated than that, too. I miss out on a lot of possibilities when I'm quick to judge them as good or bad and dismiss the potential that the opposite may also be true. And that brings me back to the coronavirus pandemic. It has and will continue to cause significant disruption in our lives. But is that all bad? When things like this happen, it's important to ask, how can God use this for good? And more importantly, how must I cooperate with God to bring peace in a time of panic? The year I was diagnosed with cancer was a year of disruption for me. I didn't want to accept that, so I was determined to stay in control and minimize the impact on our day-to-day lives. I planned my surgery around a speaking engagement and my daughter's lacrosse games. I scheduled my chemotherapy on Fridays so it would be least disruptive to my work. I even asked for my first treatment to be delayed a week so the 3-week regimen wouldn't interrupt Easter, my birthday, and my daughter's graduation. I was determined to minimize the negative impact on our lives. But I never planned for how blessed I could possibly have been by having cancer. I was overwhelmed by the outpouring of love and prayers. People sent me cards and flowers. They brought dinner and paid for my house to be cleaned. It was humbling because I knew that all these people who were reaching out to me had their own stuff that they were dealing with. I didn't deserve the attention. I thank God for them every day and ask that He bless them abundantly. the greatest blessings of that year of cancer treatment were the lessons I learned, like living one day at a time, enjoying the good days without worry for what was to come. I learned that offer it up wasn't just something your mom said to get you to stop complaining. I offered up the bad days, uniting my suffering with Jesus on the cross. And I learned that as much as I like to control things, they really turned out better when I accepted things I could not change and let God take control. I'm always telling people that if you offered me that year back and I could go do it over again without cancer, I'd say no way, because that would mean I'd have to give back my blessings, and I'm keeping them. That brings me back to Sunday's gospel. The Samaritan woman was just going about her daily tasks, going to the well to draw water, when Jesus disrupted her routine. What if she had had enough of the Jews' treatment of Samaritans? What if she had not been willing to open herself up to what he had to offer? She never would have known the Messiah. So when you think you've had enough of the coronavirus, stop and think about the blessings you may be missing. As I look forward to the days ahead, filled with uncertainty about where the virus will spread next, I know one thing is certain. There will be more disruption in our lives. But I'm choosing to follow the advice from St. Paul in our second reading from his letter to the Romans. St. Paul wrote, "We boast in hope of the glory of God, and hope does not disappoint. I am certain that the glory of God will not disappoint if we open ourselves up to what he has to offer." I'd like to close with the Serenity Prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr, as it is especially fitting for times like these. God, give us the grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things that should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. May you live each day this week, one day at a time, and glorify the Lord by your lives. If you like this episode, spread the word, but don't spread the virus. You know what to do: forward, share, or click to post. Also, check out the resources page where you can find a link to the books and other resources mentioned on other episodes of By Your Life. And I'm always interested in what you think, so give me some feedback by leaving a comment.
I feel silly trying to make up prayers myself. My mind starts to wander as I'm speaking to God. I just don't have time to pray. Do you recognize yourself in any of these statements? If so, we have a book for you. In Pray Fully, best-selling authors Michelle Fanley and Emily Jaminet share the rewards and frustrations of their own prayer journeys to create a practical guide that combines testimonies, tips, and journaling space to help you spend quality time with God. Whether you want to learn how to pray aloud in a group or stop your mind from wandering during prayer, Fanley and Jaminet have practical advice and the real-life experience to help you overcome obstacles to everyday prayer. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LEARN2PRAY, that's LEARN, the number 2, PRAY, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.